KPRU 93.3 FM, Guelph's Campus Community Radio. If you'd like to get involved at CFRU, send us an email at volunteer@cfru.ca. CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph. 250 watts of community power.
Imagine the many things that require your signature in daily life. Two out of five adults in Canada struggle with reading, writing, and numeracy, and other essential skills required for work, community participation, and lifelong learning. Action Read is a community-based, nonprofit organization dedicated to improving these essential skills in adults in Guelph. Our volunteers offer personalized one-on-one tutoring to adults over the age of 19. You could make a big difference in an adult's life by volunteering for a couple of hours each week. Action Read trains and provides ongoing support for its volunteers. For more information about volunteering, call 519-836-2759 or visit us online at www.actionread.com. Our building and office are accessible spaces.
Good afternoon and welcome to State of the Union, the official radio show for undergraduate students at the University of Guelph on CFRU 93.3. I am Demetria Jackson, the External Affairs Commissioner at the Central Student Association. And today we have the new Communications and Corporate Affairs Commissioner, Drew Garvey, here with us.
Hi, thank you for having me on this program, Demetria. I am Drew Garvey, the Communications Commissioner.
Awesome. So today we're going to give you an update on some current events that are happening, talk a bit about the annual general meeting for the Central Student Association that's coming up, and then we're going to talk about the Aqua campaign, which is a campaign to reduce / eliminate bottled water on campus. And so we'll start off with events. Drew, if you want to get us started.
Sure, I'll launch right into it. This was sent out to students as part of the mass email the CSA does. So you can check your email if you'd like to review any of the events that we announce on the program. But I'll start with the chance to travel abroad with the Global Youth Network. The Global Youth Network is now recruiting for their 2012 social justice volunteer trips. If you're interested in global issues, traveling, and contributing your skills to positive change, then you should join the Global Youth Network on an incredible adventure. Our trips include Brazil for child development, Cambodia for education, Kenya for HIV and AIDS and community development, the Philippines for education and youth empowerment, and Western Canada for Indigenous solidarity. To learn more about our trips, come out to an information session. All locations are physically accessible. And these information sessions will be on October 18th from 2:30 to 3:20 in McKinnon 318 or 5:30 to 6:30 on the same day, October 18th, in McKinnon 309. You can also go to an information session on October 19th from 1:30 to 2:20 in McKinnon 312. If you have any questions, you can email the Global Youth Network at GYN, Global Youth Network, info at U of Guelph. So sorry, that's GYN info at uofguelph.ca.
Next up, we have student art in the Bullring. So every year, the Bullring, the Central Student Association with the Fine Arts Network, chooses some student art to be put in the Bullring and displayed for the year. And so we're looking for submissions. Submissions are due Thursday, October 20th, to the CSA main office, which is on the second floor of the University Center. We're asking for one piece per artist, and pieces must be no larger than 3 feet by 3 feet. And so the show and the judging, so the art gala, will be on Friday, October 21st from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And that's when, you know, we'll judge which art we want in the Bullring or which art the judges want in the Bullring. Yeah, so if you have any more questions, then you can email Jessica Carter, the Academic and University Affairs Commissioner, at csaacad@uofguelph.ca.
And we're also looking for students to sit on the late appeals committee. So if you're interested in getting involved with important decision making at the University of Guelph and you want to gain some valuable experience, this is probably a committee that you can sit on to get that experience. The late appeals committee will be meeting to supervise student applicants who are requesting their late fee for registration be waived. So it's pretty important. Student is needed to sit on this committee. You must be enrolled in undergraduate courses, and you must be available for the first meeting, which is on Wednesday, October 26th from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. If you have any questions, you can contact your Academic and University Affairs Commissioner, Jessica Carter, at csaacad@uofguelph.ca. That's csaacad@uofguelph.ca.
And next, we have a Global Issues Discussion Series, Famine in the Horn of Africa. So President Alistair Summerlee will be speaking about his recent visit to famine-stricken East Africa on October 28th at 12 p.m. in the University Center Courtyard. His address will preclude a discussion with Professor Femi Kalapo, which will address a variety of issues and moral questions pertaining to the 2011 Horn of Africa famine. The discussion will also be a silent auction fundraiser for the World University Services of Canada, a.k.a. WUSC, and their Shine a Light campaign. This initiative is run through the WUSC Student Refugee Program and is aimed at expanding the education of young people, and especially girls in refugee camps in Kenya and Malawi. Questions addressed in the discussion between President Summerlee and Dr. Kalapo will be based on an online discussion available through CourseLink between October 17th and October 26th. Online discussion questions will include issues of media morality in humanitarian crisis, the interference of civil conflict with international aid, and how to create long-lasting impacts in regions of humanitarian crises. So to be included in the online CourseLink discussion, please send your name and email address, the U of Guelph email address, to oia@uoguelph.ca. And the October 28th panel discussion is part of the Global Issues Discussion Series, which runs through the Office of Intercultural Affairs in Student Life. For more information on the October 28th discussion or on future Global Issues Discussion Series, you can contact Holly at oia@uofguelph.ca, or you can Google search the Office of Intercultural Affairs at Student Life.
Okay. We also have a list of the clinics for the 2011 flu vaccines that are going on campus. So you have two options. You can go to a walk-in clinic or you can book an appointment. So first I'm going to tell you about the walk-in clinics. They're going to be located at the J.T. Powell Building in room 207 from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's going to be on Monday, October 31st, Tuesday, November 1st, Friday, November 4th, Tuesday, November 15th, and Monday, November 21st. Again, you can check this out in your email. If you're an undergraduate student, you would have got this in your email from the CSA this morning. Also, you can book an appointment by calling 519-824-4120. That's the general university number. And then the extension is 52131 between 9 a.m. and 4:30 from Monday to Friday. And you can book an appointment for the Student Health Services Clinic at the J.T. Powell Building, and you can get your flu vaccine there. And any day, and the dates for the appointments are November 3rd, November 23rd, and November 25th. Again, you can call extension 52131 to book an appointment on any of those days. And since that's a long list of dates, I recommend checking out your email for the full list.
And we have new bus routes, but they were supposed to be out over in the fall semester, but they are being delayed till January. And so they were planned originally to be out for November, but like I said, they'll be starting in January, January 1st to be specific. And so to view the new routes, you can go to the Guelph Transit website at guelph.ca, or you can Google search that. And if you have any further questions, you can contact Derek Alton, the CSA Local Affairs Commissioner, at csalocal@uoguelph.ca.
Also tonight, your city hall is meeting. So if you'd like to watch your municipal government at work, or you have something to raise, You can head down to City Hall this evening from 7 to 9 p.m., and that is at 1 Cardin Street downtown at City Hall. If you're interested in municipal matters in general, you should probably get connected with your local affairs commissioner at the CSA, who is Derek Alton. And his email is csalocal@uguelph.ca, csalocal@uguelph.ca.
Great. So if you have any questions about that, or if you didn't get the mass email and you're an undergraduate student, or if you know you're not an undergraduate student, you still want that information, you can email Drew at csatalk@uguelph.ca, and he can gladly forward that along to you. Right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
There's also we're missing this announcement here, but it's in your email as well. The Student Academic Caucus is having a meeting to discuss the integrated plan as well, and I think it's on Thursday. I don't even want to say when it is because I don't have it in front of me, but you can check your email and find out the details about that. The integrated plan is pretty important. It's determining the direction where funds go and what way the university is heading for the next few years, and it's being discussed and it's open for debate now. So if you want to learn more about the integrated plan, or you have ideas, or you're concerned about things, the direction the university is heading, you can attend this meeting put on by Student Academic Caucus, and you can also email the Academic and University Affairs Commissioner, Jessica Carter, at csaacad@uguelph.ca.
There's also a meeting today at 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. in the executive board room for the university. So it's room 424, and it's for the Campus Master Plan Committee. So the Campus Master Plan Committee is looking for student feedback on they're reviewing the master plan, so they're looking for student feedback on what students think they need for in terms of space and in terms of facilities on campus. So if you want to come out and, you know, say what you think, which is always a great thing, then come out to this meeting. It's open door, and it starts at 3 p.m., and it's today. And, show up, please.
Thank you. So I guess we should move on to talking about the main event, which is coming up in about a
two weeks,
November 2nd, which is the CSA annual general meeting.
Yes.
So we've got lots to say about the AGM and why you should come. As a member of the CSA, all undergraduate students are members, and the AGM is kind of the big meeting where we get all our members into one big room, and we show what's been going on with the organization. The execs give reports. We look at the books. And it's really the time where members have maximum oversight over what's been going on at the CSA. So as a member, it's your responsibility to get involved with the organization and make sure that we're on the right track, and we'd love to hear from you.
Why should students come to the AGM?
Besides that point?
Yep.
Well, there's just so many reasons, Demetria. But one of the other reasons is to find out what the CSA is up to. We're going to be discussing kind of the more exciting things as well in terms of what commissioners have been doing. These include the Aqua campaign for a bottled water free campus that we'll be talking more about on this show, as well as the local affairs commissioner will be giving an update on bus passes and routes, new routes proposed that are going to be run through the city. These are things that, you know, a lot of students take transit and, you know, has real impact on your day-to-day life. So it's good to get an update. And the CSA really is your voice. So to make sure that your voice is going to City Hall when it comes to transit issues. So these are just a couple of the things. You can also, there's going to be people from all the CSA services there. It's really the opportunity to get involved, find out how to get involved. You know, there's going to be job openings coming up in a few months. You know, get connected with the CSA, find out what jobs are there. You can get connected and sit on the board of directors and really detail kind of the day-to-day direction of the organization. So this is a real great opportunity to kind of sit down and meet everybody involved. with the CSA. And your college and organizational representatives will also be giving updates. So, you know, if you're from the College of Social and Applied Human Sciences, you have two elected, one appointed seats. For example, and they'll all be giving reports on what they've been doing with the board and kind of the initiatives that they're bringing to the board. So it's important to hear from these representatives as well. And free food and prizes.
Free food's always good.
Exactly. How can you say no to free food? So, meal prices are pretty high on campus. It's students' budgets are pretty tight. Mm-hmm. It's good to get your free food. And Demetria, maybe there will be prizes. Maybe you can talk a bit about the fantastic prizes that were given away last year and how much fun it was.
Yeah. Last year we gave away a ton of prizes. We had board games we gave away. We had, what did we have? We had a season of Glee that we gave away. I think it was the first season, and that was, you know, a fan favorite. We had an iPod Touch as our big giveaway prize, and that was fun. That I think that was a 32 gig iPod Touch. Yeah, it was pretty fun, and everyone pretty much enjoyed it. We had a lot of board games, a lot of just really neat trinkets. And we even gave away like a kettle, like one of those, I can't remember what the place is called in the mall, but it's a really nice kettle place, with tea. And we gave away a kettle set and it was awesome, a teapot set, and everyone loved it. So there will be the same kind of prizes this year.
And you get entered just by showing up. And I should also mention that, it's a legal requirement for the CSA to make sure a big chunk of its membership is there. This is good for the organization, keeps the organization strong to make sure that there's proper oversight over what's going on. So I encourage you all to come down and do your membership responsibilities, help us out, get fed, get prizes, find out more about the CSA.
So the CSA hasn't met quorum for the AGM in the past 3 years. And perhaps we should talk a little bit about what that means for the organization in terms of approving bylaws and the direction of the Central Student Association.
Sure. The bylaws, so there's a lot of work that goes on at the CSA through the Board of Directors. We go through all the policies and bylaws regularly. We make changes, things change. We make updates to, you know, job descriptions, procedural stuff, commissioners, portfolios. So these are all things that have been changed over the last 3 years, but we need to make quorum. We need to get a big chunk of the membership in there in order to finalize, put their stamp on it and say, yes, we agree with these changes that have been made in the past. And then that kind of allows us to move forward. If we don't meet quorum, then it is kind of a procedural nightmare. Mm-hmm. So we're encouraging students to come out.
Thanks. Anything else?
I think that I'm sure we'll be talking about the AGM more, and you'll be hearing more in the next week or two.
Yep. And maybe one time for the location. So it is on Wednesday, November 2nd at 5:30 p.m. in Peter Clark Hall. And all you have to do is bring your student ID. And next, we're going to talk a bit about, in the last 12 minutes or so, the Aqua campaign. The Aqua campaign is a campaign to eliminate bottled water on campus. And so this is something that in different capacities a lot of students on campus have been trying to do but haven't really been as successful. Currently, the GSA, the Graduate Student Association, is bottled water free. The Central Student Association is bottled water free as well. That happened recently. Last year we became bottled water free in the Bullring. And our vending machine on the second floor is now bottled water free. And so we're making a lot of change in terms of reducing the amount of bottled water that we have around our spaces. And this year we want to make a push to have it campus-wide. Currently there are 14 other campuses across Canada who are bottled water free. And for... the most recent four happened this year, specifically either in starting from May to September. Trent and U of T just recently went bottled water free in September. And so I think it's pretty important that Guelph gets on that bandwagon. We pride ourselves on being a sustainable campus and a sustainable university, and I think it's pretty rough that we haven't been bottled water free yet.
That's true. I think this campaign and these campuses that have signed on to be bottled water free, and it's largely being put forward by the students originally. And this has happened all in the last few years as water becomes more and more of an issue on the kind of political agenda with kind of water sovereignty and commercialization and commodification of water and water as a human right. These are the kind of debates that are being raised by students, and more universities are agreeing that yes, students are right, and we should become the place in the community that says, as institutions of higher learning, that we recognize that water is a human right, and we're not going to participate in having bottled water on our campus. So I think we have a bit of a video that kind of explains some of the problems with bottled water. It's not campus specific, it's kind of more general, but I think it's a good backgrounder.
Yeah. So this video is about 8 minutes long. So so we'll leave you listening to this. Next week, we will be back at 1:30 p.m. on Tuesday. And again, we are State of the Union, the official radio show for the undergraduate students at the University of Guelph. And I'm Demetria. And
I'm Drew.
Okay. And have a great day, everyone.
It's a story about a world obsessed with stuff. It's a story about a system in crisis. We're trashing the planet, we're trashing each other, and we're not even having fun. The good thing is that when we start to understand the system, we start to see lots of places to step in and turn these problems into solutions. One of the problems with trying to use less stuff is that sometimes we feel like we really need it. What if you live in a city like, say, Cleveland, and you want a glass of water? Are you going to take your chances and get it from the city tap? Or should you reach for a bottle of water that comes from the pristine rainforest of Fiji? Well, Fiji brand water thought the answer to this question was obvious, so they built a whole ad campaign around it. It turned out to be one of the dumbest moves in advertising history. You see, the city of Cleveland didn't like being the butt of Fiji's jokes, so they did some tests, and guess what? These tests showed a glass of Fiji water is lower quality, it loses taste tests against Cleveland tap, and costs thousands of times more. This story is typical of what happens when you test bottled water against tap water. Is it cleaner? Sometimes, sometimes not. In many ways, bottled water is less regulated than tap. Is it tastier? In taste tests across the country, people consistently choose tap over bottled water. These bottled water companies say they're just meeting consumer demand. But who would demand a less sustainable, less tasty, way more expensive product, especially when you can get for almost free in your kitchen? Bottled water costs about 2,000 times more than tap water. Can you imagine paying 2,000 times the price of anything else? How about a $10,000 sandwich? Yet people in the U.S. buy more than 500 million bottles of water every week. That is enough to circle the globe more than 5 times. How did this come to be? Well, it all goes back to how our materials economy works, and one of its key drivers, which is known as manufactured demand. If companies want to keep growing, they have to keep selling more and more stuff. In the 1970s, giant soft drink companies got worried as they saw their growth projections starting to level off. There's only so much soda a person can drink. Plus, it wouldn't be long before people began realizing soda is not that healthy and turned back to, gasp, drinking tap water. Well, the companies found their next big idea in a silly designer product that most people laughed off as a passing yuppie fad. Water is free, people said back then. What will they sell us next? Air? So how do you get people to buy this fringe product? Simple. You manufacture demand. How do you do that? Well, imagine you're in charge of a bottled water company. Since people aren't lining up to trade their hard-earned money for your unnecessary product, you make them feel scared and insecure if they don't have it. And that's exactly what the bottled water industry did. One of their first marketing tactics was to scare people about tap water with ads like Fiji's Cleveland campaign. When we're done, one top water executive said, tap water will be relegated to showers and washing dishes. Next, you hide the reality of your product behind images of pure fantasy. Have you ever noticed how bottled water tries to seduce us with pictures of mountain streams and pristine nature? But guess where a third of all bottled water in the U.S. actually comes from? The tap. Pepsi's Aquafina and Coke's Dasani are two of the many brands that are really filtered tap water. But the pristine nature lie goes much deeper. In a recent full-page ad, Nestle said, bottled water is the most environmentally responsible consumer product in the world. What? They are trashing the environment all along the product's life cycle. Exactly how is that environmentally responsible? The problems start here with extraction and production, where oil is used to make water bottles. Each year, making the plastic water bottles used in the U.S. takes enough oil and energy to fuel a million cars. All that energy spent to make the bottle, even more to ship it around the planet, and then we drink it in about 2 minutes? That brings us to the big problem at the other end of the life cycle, disposal. What happens to all these bottles when we're done? 80% end up in landfills, where they will sit for thousands of years, or in incinerators, where they are burned, releasing toxic pollution. The rest gets collected for recycling. I was curious about where the plastic bottles that I put in the recycling bins go. I found out that shiploads were being sent to India, so I went there. I will never forget riding over a hill outside Madras, where I came face to face with a mountain of plastic bottles from California. Now, real recycling would turn these bottles back into bottles. But that wasn't what was happening here. Instead, these bottles were slated to be downcycled, which means turning them into lower quality products that would just be chucked later. The parts that couldn't be downcycled were thrown away there, shipped all the way to India just to be dumped in someone else's backyard. If bottled water companies want to use mountains on their labels, it would be more accurate to show one of these mountains of plastic waste. Scaring us, seducing us, and misleading us. These strategies are all core parts of manufacturing demand. Once they've manufactured all this demand, creating a new multi-billion dollar market, they defend it by beating out the competition. But in this case, the competition is our basic human right to clean, safe drinking water. Pepsi's vice chairman publicly said, "The biggest enemy is tap water. They want us to think it's dirty and bottled water is the best alternative." In many places, public water is polluted thanks to polluting industries like the plastic bottle industry. And these bottled water guys are all too happy to offer their expensive solutions, which keep us hooked on their products. It is time we took back the tap. That starts with making a personal commitment to not buy or drink bottled water unless the water in your community is truly unhealthy. Yes, it takes a bit of foresight to grab a reusable bottle on the way out, but I think we can handle it. Then take the next step. Join a campaign that's working for real solutions, like demanding investment in clean tap water for all. In the U.S., tap water is underfunded by $24 billion, partly because people believe drinking water only comes from a bottle. Around the world, 1 billion people don't have access to clean water right now. Yet cities all over are spending millions of dollars to deal with all the plastic bottles we throw out. What if that money was spent improving our water systems, or better yet, preventing pollution to begin with? There are many more things we can do to solve this problem. Lobby your city officials to bring back drinking fountains. Work to ban the purchase of bottled water by your school, your organization, or entire city. This is a huge opportunity for millions of people to wake up and protect our wallets, our health, and the planet. The good news is it's already started. Bottled water sales have begun to drop while business is booming for safe, refillable water bottles. Yay! Restaurants are proudly serving tap, and people are choosing to pocket the hundreds or thousands of dollars they would otherwise be wasting on bottled water. Carrying bottled water is on its way to being as cool as smoking while pregnant. We know better now. The bottled water industry is getting worried because the jig is up. We are not buying into their manufactured demand anymore. We will choose our own demands, thank you very much, and we are demanding clean, safe water for all.
Raise your voice.
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 reason number 47 to donate during CFRU's annual funding drive. Here at 93.3, our volunteers and programmers work hard every day to slap your eardrums with original content you can't get anywhere else. We want to make it easier for people like you to come in and share in the events available through CFRU. Help us make our station more accessible.